In an uncivil war, the Washington Post, Greg Sargent, sounds an alarm about the deeper roots of our Democratic backsliding and how he says we can turn things around between now and 2020. His new book is An Uncivil War, Taking Back Our Democracy in an Age of Trumpium Disinformation and Thunderdome Politics. And it's a great pleasure to welcome Greg Sargent to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on.
Give us a sense of where this started for you in looking at this this uncivil war that you see us in.
Sure. So what I argue in the book and where this starts is with the idea that there's a basic disconnect at the core of everything right now. It took a figure as openly hostile to democracy as Donald Trump to focus everyone's attention on big questions about the health and viability of our political system. But a lot of the system's problems predate Trump and will outlast him. So I argue that it shouldn't have taken up Donald Trump to focus everyone's attention on this. And we've got to figure out a way to kind of hold on to this pro-democracy energy after he's gone so we don't backslide again at some future point.
It is interesting, though, and I want to take a quick detour before we get back into the nitty-gritty of your book, and that is the context here, though, also is that we're not the only country going through this right now, and that should
right.
be noted, shouldn't it?
Absolutely. The rise of populism or populist movements that have fundamentally undemocratic casts to them is a global problem, clearly. And many political scientists have sounded the alarm about this as being something very widespread and alarming in an international sense. I don't get into that much, but it's certainly an important topic.
Right. And as I said, just to give it a context. Now, with that said, you do talk about this dysfunction and that it is long running and it does predate Trump. So where do you see the tentacles really start in this movement that allowed a figure like Donald Trump to gain such momentum?
Well, it's a little hard to say whether these particular democratic deteriorations that I write about are the primary reason that Trump was able to rise. Political scientists will tell you that other things were factors, such as the weakening of parties, which enabled Trump to hijack the Republican Party against the wishes of the party elders, or globalization and so forth. But what I focus on mainly in this book is a certain type of democratic backsliding that manifests itself in the form of things like voter suppression and gerrymandering, which represent an effort to kind of capture the rules of political competition and use them to partisan ends in a way that produces very undemocratic outcomes. And Trump's attacks on our institutions and on the legitimacy of our political system find a willing and ready audience among Republicans because Republican politicians have been doing this for a long time. The voter suppression tactics rest on a rationale of fictitious voter fraud, which is a way of saying that elections which produce Democratic winners are illegitimate. Trump simply just piggybacked on that and made the claim even more explicit and kind of more crazy and flagrant. So in that sense, you see Trump as kind of riding on things that had already preceded him.
There is a the subtitle of the book is Taking Back Our Democracy in an Age of Trumpium Disinformation and Thunderdome Politics. I think the Trumpian disinformation is well documented and certainly something that we've been talking about over the last hour and a half on this program. However, let me what do you see as the Thunderdome politics and how do you see that manifesting itself right now, especially as we walk toward the midterms?
Well, Thunderdome politics, what I mean by that is two things. First, what it refers to, you saw the movie, I think. I mean, I'm sure many of your listeners have seen the movie. The slogan or the chant was two men enter, right? Two men enter, one man leaves, right?
Right.
And so Thunderdome politics refers to the zero-sum struggle that results when all rules and norms and basic standards of fair play get thrown out the window, which is what's happening mainly on one side, but not exclusively right now. And secondly, Thunderdome politics refers to the crude blood sport as entertainment tenor that Trump has dragged us all down to. So Thunderdome politics, for me, kind of captures the totality of that picture with all those different elements in it. And heading into the midterms, I think you asked about, well,
yes,
you know, we're seeing it. We're seeing the Thunderdome in Georgia and in North Dakota, where major voter suppression schemes are underway. And Trump is out there saying, you know, tweeting that across the country we will fight voter fraud. The president of the United States is endorsing voter suppression. And so there's the Thunderdome for you.
So, but it's it, for him, ultimately, it seems as though it was before a win-win. If the Republicans do very, very well in the midterms, he can say it's all because of me. If the Republicans do poorly or not as good as they expected to, he can say, well, it's because of voter fraud, voter suppression, and enough people didn't stand behind me.
Well, I'm sure he will say that, and he, in fact, telegraphed that when he expected to lose the 2016 election. He didn't. I shouldn't say he telegraphed it. He said it openly. He said, "If I lose, the outcome is illegitimate." And so, of course, we'll do that again.
So the other part of this, of course, is taking our democracy, taking back our democracy. So where do you see that? I mean, do you see efforts to do that right now?
Well, sure. I think if you look at Michigan, there are initiatives on the ballot right now that would put in automatic voter registration and other things that would make it easier to vote. I will point out, and I hope your listeners take this to heart, there are governor's races in many states across the country, and the outcome of those races could really have a major impact on the state of our democracy for many years, and let me explain why. In many states, governors have the power to veto congressional and state legislative maps, district maps that are drawn by the state legislature. Now, if Democrats win in some of these big states where they can do that, when Republicans try to gerrymander the maps for the next decade, which will come after the census, right? These governors who win in 2018 will be in power when that happens. And if there are a lot of Democrats there, they can block these maps and force fairer ones. So look at Pennsylvania, for instance. A Democratic governor got in there, and it catapulted the resulting standoff catapulted the Pennsylvania district map into the courts. And the result was a new map, a much fairer map that will now result in many more Democrats getting elected, it looks like. And by the way, I should point out it's not a good thing because Democrats will get elected, but rather because the shape of the congressional delegation from Pennsylvania will end up reflecting the electorate a little more. And so my point here is that multiple Democratic governors getting in this cycle means potentially a much less gerrymandered map for another decade.
To be fair, though, I mean, the Democrats don't always have the best record in setting up these districts either, do they? I mean, they certainly have done their share.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. You're absolutely right. And they have a long and bad history of this, too, in places like Illinois and Maryland. And I want to say, I say in the book very clearly that we cannot stand for it if Democrats do this, if they gain ground on the state legislative level. What we need to do is insist on fair maps. And one interesting thing that has developed recently is that Democrats who are investing great amounts of money in taking back ground on the state legislative and gubernatorial level for the purpose of unrigging these maps are also investing money in referenda for things like nonpartisan redistricting commissions, whose goal is to do fair maps and not partisan ones. So I think that's an encouraging sign, and we should hold Democrats to that value.
When it comes to the division in our politics, the polarization, the gridlock, what do you make of that in the sense of how we got here in ultimately. And I mean, it will always in some way be a part of our politics. But I guess I do wonder of irreparable damage that has been done to this idea of democracy.
Well, it's very, I mean, experts who really study this stuff closely disagree pretty vehemently about it themselves. So I guess what I would say is the people that I cite in the book talking about polarization essentially talk about two things. One is that you're seeing a sorting of the two parties' voters along racial and cultural lines, which is a potentially troubling development because it means more polarization going forward. The second is the rise of negative partisanship in which people's political choices and preferences are shaped at least as much or more so by dislike of the opposition than like of one's own side. So those are very problematic trends potentially, and it's hard to know where they'll end up. But what I try to argue in the book is that if we can try to improve some of these institutional processes so that people come away that with a sense that they're fair, then potentially that could mitigate the damage.
What do you think? But going back, and I'm sorry for being hung up on this, but when we talk about, and as you say, people are very divided on the subject, and I understand because we just don't know. But I mean, we've never seen anything quite like this before, have we? I mean, these norms of politics, which is part of the reason that President Trump was elected in the first place, that these norms of politics have been shot to hell. Some people are thrilled about it. Others are aghast. And you sort of sit there looking at the shrapnel and saying to yourself, OK, but now what do we do?
Well, that's what I try to talk about, right? I think if we can get responsible public officials elected who will try to make these processes better, that's what we do, right? I mean, I think we can improve things incrementally and in marginal ways. I think if you make it easier for people to vote, if you remove, sort of take off the table these weapons of procedural warfare that are mostly wielded by Republicans, I think things could get better.
But we're seeing this right now in the midterms where people have, I mean, we don't know what's going to happen in 2 weeks. We have no idea. But we
sure don't.
We don't. And we, if we believe one poll, I mean, if anything that we got out of 2016 is, okay, let's be a little wary of polls. But and certainly don't get cocky. But by the same token, I mean, now is the opportunity, as you say, for people to mobilize. Let's say that doesn't happen. Let's say that does not go in a democratic way. Then how much further does it have to go before it turns? Or are we definitely being told something that, okay, maybe this, whatever this is, this Thunderdome politics is a better way?
Well, look, I would agree that if Republicans hold on to both houses of Congress, I think things could get worse from a small D Democratic perspective. So, for instance, I think we all know that President Trump is going to probably fire Attorney General Sessions after the midterms,
right,
and try to replace him with a loyalist who will constrain or potentially shut down the Robert Mueller investigation, or, barring that, maybe potentially try to act to prevent Mueller's findings from coming out, which the Attorney General could do if he did not recuse himself the way Sessions has. And by the way, I don't think Trump's choice of Attorney General will recuse himself. So that's a real problem. And then if there's a Republican, if Republicans win, hold on to the House, I would think Trump will feel quite emboldened to go through with something like this, and in the knowledge that House Republicans won't do anything about it. And those House Republicans will also feel emboldened not to do anything about it by winning. So I think things could get worse for sure.
Well, the book is fascinating. It's called An Uncivil War, Taking
thank
Back
you.
Our Democracy in an Age of Trumpian Disinformation and Thunderdome Politics. Greg Sargent, thank you for being with us.
Thank you so much.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.